Mark, St. Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus crossed in a boat to the other side, large crowds again gathered around him while he was by the sea. And there came one of the leaders of the synagogue, whose name was Jairus. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he beseeched him much and said to him, "My daughter is very seriously ill. Come and lay your hand on her, and she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large multitude followed him, and they pressed in on him. And there was a woman who had had the hemorrhage for 12 years, who had suffered much at the hands of many doctors, who had spent everything she had and was not helped at all, but rather became worse. When she heard concerning Jesus, she came through the dense crowd from behind him and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I can only touch his cloak, I will live." And immediately the hemorrhage was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Jesus instantly knew that some power had gone out of him, so he turned around to the people and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his people said to him, "You see the people pressing on you? And you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he was looking around to see who had done this. But the woman, frightened and trembling, because she knew what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease." And while he was still talking, some men came from the house of the leader of the synagogue, saying, "Your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the teacher?" Jesus heard the word that they spoke, and he said to the leader of the synagogue, "Fear not, only believe." And he did not permit any man to go with him except Simon Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, and he saw them in a tumult, weeping and wailing. And so he entered and said to them, "Why are you excited and crying? The little girl is not dead, but she's asleep." And they laughed at him. But Jesus put them all out, and he took the little girl's father and mother and those who were with him, and they entered the room where the little girl was laid. And he took the little girl by her hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, rise up." And immediately, the little girl got up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And they were astonished, with great astonishment. But he commanded them that no man should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat. All right. Two fantastic miracles. Fantastic testings of faith, all within a half hour of each other. All right? I'm just boom, boom. And life-changing events occurred. The people who were there that day, their lives were changed. What they saw. Now, I remember one time we were at a church, and I had a friend, his name's Tony. You'll hear me talk about Tony. He's the one that had his neck broken, and they took x-rays, and he had a broken neck, and they called for a specialist. He took more x-rays, and the neck wasn't broken anymore. Okay? And so we have x-ray proof that God's been there. Pretty neat. Okay? And there was this girl that she had hip problems, and it was affecting her. She was in pain all the time. And so there was a young man, Andy, a little bit younger than I, and he felt that God wanted to heal this girl. And so they got her up in the front and put her in her chair, and they prayed for her. And Andy said, I really believe in all my heart we're going to see a miracle today. Anybody who wants to come up and see this miracle, get on up here. And my buddy Tony, out of his chair, he says, I want to see a miracle. If a miracle's going to happen, I want to be there to see it. And they prayed for that little girl, and her leg grew 2 inches. She had both of her feet out on a chair in front of her, and it just grew. She didn't shift in the chair and push. That's what everybody says when I tell them about how she gets to shift her weight in the chair and put. No. There was one person standing behind her with their hand on her shoulders, and it just grew. All right? That's called a miracle. What caused that miracle? Faith. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. All right. So, same thing here in the scripture today. Two miracles. Two instances of activated faith. All right? In the first one, we have Jesus who's on his way to Jairus' house. He's been implored, please, Jesus, you've got to, my little girl is near death. How many of you ever been that like that with one of your kids? I was like that with my daughter, Laura. She was lying, 1 year old, lying in the hospital, man, her stomach's all distended. She's just dying in front of us. I was, you know, crying out to God, God, put this illness on me. Whatever you have to do, you know, just to, and God ended up working a miracle. And when she stopped breathing and Joy started screaming bloody murder, running up and down the hallway, then a guy walked out of another room who just happened to be a pediatric respiratory specialist, a doctor. And he walked in and he said, this girl is having an asthma attack. She doesn't have pneumonia. By putting her in a mist tent, you are killing her. Take her out of the mist tent, feed her 100% O2. We took her home the next day. Be careful when you put your trust in doctors. Okay? Because the doctors that we saw were killing our daughter. And it was only when God brought the right guy at the right time that the miracle happened. Alright? So anyhow, this lady had, and I like it, in the Aramaic, she's had the discharge. Alright? It's a female thing. My wife had to have surgery for it, and it's just when the blood starts to flow and it doesn't stop. And some ladies have it, and sometimes you can have surgery, sometimes you can have medication or whatever, but Sister Carrie, she almost died, because she had a big blood clot and it just kept, you know, she just kept bleeding, and we had to put her in an ambulance here at the hospital. That's what this lady had. Obviously, it wasn't as serious as what some ladies experience, because she's been dealing with it for 10 years. All right? And you notice that doctors are always happy to take your money. But, you know, at the end, after they've taken all your money, they say, we tried. All right? That's why doctors practice medicine. And they make sure that they use that. I practice medicine. So, hey, I did my best, and it didn't work. Sorry about that. All right? And so in the medical profession, we have a neat little thing. Doctors get to bury their mistakes. Got to be careful because my wife's going in to see a doctor tomorrow, so I don't. But anyhow, this lady's been seeing doctors for 10 years. They took every dime she had, and she's no better. She is at the end of her wits. What am I going to do? She's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And she hears that Jesus is in town. Amen? Now, she didn't know the New Testament. New Testament hasn't been written yet. But she knew her Old Testament. Last book of the Bible. And the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. All right? That's talking about Messiah. And who's coming to town? Messiah. All right? And for those of you that don't know, the wings of a garment are the hem of the garment. And when a Jew would look at another Jew, and if he was a Pharisee, he would have, you know, different colored, you know, that was the wing of his garment, the hem of his garment. What did she say? Ah, the Son of Righteousness is here, with healing in his wings. If I can but touch his hem, the wing of his garment, I will be healed. So what was she doing? She was putting her faith in the Word of God. Amen? All right? The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Here's the Son of Righteousness. The healing I need is in his wing. It's not angel wings. It's the hem of the garment. If I can but touch his garment, I will be healed. And problem is, all right, you've had this hemorrhage for 10 years. You're not out running marathons. Matter of fact, you're probably not getting your housework done because you're just weak. You're dealing with this disease, with this infirmity, all right? And so this crowd has had a head start on her. But that's the answer to her problem up there. And the Bible says when she heard concerning Jesus, she came through the dense crowd from behind him. Okay, have you ever been in a dense crowd, like going to a ball game or whatever, and people are just stacked up? All right? You ever try breaking through that? Okay? Not real easy, is it? Oh, you can make a pest of yourself. Excuse me. People get mad at you, whatever. I believe that's what that lady was doing. Excuse me, I'm coming through. Who do you think you are? Shut up, I'll tell you later. And I believe that she couldn't stand up straight. Okay, she's bent over, and the only thing she had were her two little feet to mogate her forward and two bony little elbows to get people out of her way. And I can just visualize her coming through that crowd. The crowd splits. Just like the sea parting. Because here she comes through, bent over with them bony little elbows, hitting people in the ribs, hitting people mad at her, people cursing at her. And she probably said a couple of times, I hope it's worth it, because I sure am getting all my neighbors mad at me. But she elbowed her way through. Hey, look it. I know how people are. If you get them and say, excuse me, can I get through here? People turn around and go, if I'm lying, I'm dying. That's how people are. And she just elbowed her way through. And she finally got within reach of Jesus. And she just, I can just see her throwing herself and touching the hem of that garment. And boom! What did Jesus have to do with it? Not a thing. He felt the power go out. Now, if you've ever prayed for something, there's some people in here that have been around when the Spirit of God moved. It's not your power, but you will feel the Spirit of God move when you're healing for somebody and they get, when you're praying for somebody and they get a healing or whatever it is. When the power of God moves, you'll know it. It's not you, it's you're just the conduit. Okay? And that's what happened. Her faith activated that. And Jesus felt it happen. All right? And so it's really when we're praying for somebody and I know this is I felt that happen. I just start praising God. Thank you, God. People say, why are you stopped? Why aren't you praying anymore? Don't have to. The job's done. The healing has happened or whatever the answer for the prayer is. Amen? And so Jesus turns around. Who touched me? Yes. Like, there's 500 people in an area this size, and Jesus is saying, who touched me? Okay? The disciples are saying, well, I mean, like, this is like a road trip. Remember being in the back seat, Mom and Dad, on a road trip? And I had a brother and a sister, and all my parents. He touched me, he's on my side! Well, she put her hand on my side. And here's Jesus saying, who touched me? And his disciples said, Jesus, get real. I mean, half the village has touched you already. I mean, they're all right. You know, I just wonder how many people had touched Jesus but they didn't touch him with faith. In that whole crowd, there was only one who had faith. A bunch of people touched Jesus. Only one touched him with faith. And only one got healed. Amen? Now, look what Jesus said. The lady tells her about it, and she's afraid she's in trouble. And Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has healed you." How much did Jesus claim was his? How much of the glory? How much of the... Your faith has healed you. Okay? Not Jesus' faith. Your faith has healed you. God wants to heal. God wants to do miracles. He's just waiting for somebody with enough faith to activate that miracle. Alright? And we're going to get into a minute why we don't have that faith and what we can do about it. Alright? And so, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. And there's a warning there. Your faith has healed you. Right now, you're healed. Go in faith and what? Be healed of your disease. Because this is what happens. The devil comes along and says, "You didn't really get healed. You didn't really get your prayer answered. You didn't really..." Seriously. What, you believe in this mumbo jumbo? You believe in that? That didn't happen. Jesus said, "You've been healed, now keep it." Alright? Because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And you don't think he'll steal a blessing from you? You haven't lived long enough. If you think that the devil won't steal, you turn your back on that old rascal for a second. And he will do exactly what he does. He kills, he steals, and he destroys. Don't get mad at him. That's his job. That's his job description. All right? He kills, he steals, destroys. And so that day he was told, "You're healed. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and keep your healing. Don't let the devil steal it away from you." All right? So, that's the first one. But where was her faith? Her faith was in the Word of God. This just wasn't I read in a book somewhere that if you do this, then you're going to get, whatever if you pray. There's books out there. If you pray this formula, God has to answer your prayer. Knowing God, that's probably the first thing he's going to do is ignore anybody who has decided to pray that formula because they think that a formula can touch the heart of God. Your faith touches the heart of God, not a formula. All right? But she believed in the Word of God. And folks, there are times in our lives when everything around us has failed us. Those that we have put our trust in have let us down. People die. People move. Things happen. But the Word of God never changes. And this lady knew what God's Word said, that when the Son of Righteousness shows up on the scene, there's going to be healing in the hem of his garment. And she believed in her whole heart the Word of God, and she believed in her whole heart, this guy is who he says he is. He is the Messiah. And since this is what the Word of God says, and that's who this guy says he is, this is what I'm going to do. And it worked, even though Jesus didn't even know what was going on until it was too late. Amen? You need to read your Bibles. You need to claim the promises of God's Word. Because God's Word is true and it never changes. Men are fickle. The world is unfaithful. But God's Word is always true. You build your word on that, you build your life on that word, and you won't be disappointed. Alright, but Jesus was already on a mission. This lady was not his mission. All right? I mean, Jesus was this lady's mission, but Jesus wasn't, you know, that wasn't, you know, he wasn't, had nothing to do with that lady. He was off to Jairus' house. And after he deals with this lady, gives her counseling, don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your miracle. All right? You hold on to that. Tell that devil no. Then, as soon as he's done, then some messengers show up from Jairus' house. Don't bother the master. Your daughter's already dead. Okay. How many of you just hope that you receive a message like that? That's the last thing you ever want to hear, that a loved one has died. You were in the process of doing everything you could for that loved one, and now they're gone. You think here's the time when your faith is being tried? Amen? Because you got to remember one thing, folks. You ain't dead till God says you're dead. I don't care what the doctor said. Terry was dead. All right? Well, if it's true, I've been living with a corpse for the past 20 years. All right? Doctors can say what they want to say. You ain't dead till God says you're dead. So this is what happens. Why do you trouble the teacher? Jesus heard him give this report. Must have broke his heart. And this is what he says. Fear not, only believe. Alright? Now this is what he says, okay? Phobeo, where we get the word phobia. Alright? Fear. Paralyzing fear. If you have a phobia about spiders and you see a spider, what's gonna happen? Yeah, we'll kill it. Or go yelling, screaming down the hallway, whatever. Alright. Phobias are something that gets you to react in a way you shouldn't react. Alright? A phobia, if you have a phobia of the dark, a phobia of open places, a phobia of people, you know, there's all these different phobias that the psychologists are trying. It's a different kind of fear. That's all it is fear. May is a negative word. So may phobeo means don't phobia. Don't fear. Don't have this paralyzing fear. All right? And this is, look at, a second person, which means you. You don't fear. Present, right now. Passive, it means you don't do it. Somebody's put it on you. Somebody put fear on you? Who would put fear on you? God? Does God put fear on you? You know what the Bible says? God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear isn't an emotion. Fear is the result when the devil puts that on you. Fear is a lack of faith. And when your faith goes away, all that you have left is fear. All right? Now, I have learned, and this is my own theory, and I bounced off a bunch of guys, and everybody's agreed to go home and pray about it. Fear is the antithesis of faith. It is the exact opposite of faith. It's like light and darkness. If you have darkness, it's going to disappear when light comes along. Light and darkness can't exist together. Light is going to overshadow the darkness. All right? Light is faith. Darkness is fear. And so when fear shows up, that means your faith has gone away. And so Jesus is giving this man, he's a spiritual leader. He's in charge of the synagogue, all right? He's saying, don't fear. Don't allow that spirit of fear to come upon you. It's passive. You don't have, you're not saying, oh, I think now's a good time to fear. Okay? No, you don't do that. You allow it to come upon you when your faith goes away. And so Jesus commands this guy, because it's second person present, do it now, passive, it's coming upon you, and imperative, don't let fear come on you. All right? And then the next word is monon, which means merely or simply. He says, the answer is so simple. Don't let fear come upon you, but simply or merely, pistuo, faith. Okay, there's no word in the Bible that's believe. Believe is not in the Bible. It's just that faith makes a poor noun. Yeah, I have faith. I faith, a verb. Faith makes a bad verb, okay? I'm faithing that God will... No, I'm believing, I'm hoping, or whatever. It's very, very weak in the English language. But in the original language, it says, but faith, okay? Second person, you faith. Present, right now, you faith. Active, I want you doing it right now. Imperative, you will do this right now. Alright? You will not let fear come upon you. However, or merely, or simply, you will have faith. Okay? And that's you personal. It's not passive, it's active. You will put on faith. And I tell you what, you get rid of your fear, you can walk in faith. And the devil knows that. That's why he's constantly trying to put fear on us. Alright? And so, that's it. Jesus said basically, four words. Me phoebo, phoebo, don't fear, simply faith. Faith. Okay? A verb, faith. I choose to faith. Kind of like I choose to bathe. Praise God. Pastor bathed this morning. Okay, that's good. Bathing is good, but faithing is better. Okay? Simply, I like the merely better. Merely. It's so simple. Don't fear. Simply faith. Simply have faith. Okay? And so, they went in there. And remember I told you in the Syriac, society that you would show, how fear, how sorrowful, whatever, clapping their hands and stamping their feet. And that's what these people were doing. They were just, oh, this is terrible. This little 12-year-old girl has died. And Jesus said, what do you tell mom and dad? Don't fear. Put off the spirit of fear and put on faith. Let's go and see what happened. They entered where the little girl was. Jesus took the little girl by her hand and said to her, Talitha, little girl, kumi, get your behind out of bed. Rise up is what it means. And which means little girl, rise up. Oh. There it is. And immediately the little girl got up and walked, for she was 12 years old. They wanted to make you realize this wasn't like a little toddler or something. This is a 12-year-old little girl. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Yeah. In other words, they were completely blown away. What just happened here? Remember, Jesus, three disciples, mom and dad, the dead girl. That's all that was there. Jesus simply takes her by the hand and says two words. Little dark girl, get up. Well, Talitha Kumi. All right, that's it. And she gets up. She was just dead. Well, Pastor, see, she was sleeping. She was, you know, maybe unconscious. Maybe she had a fever, and now the fever is broken, and she's okay. Look at, people died back then. All right, if you made it 12 years old, you're the lucky few, because people didn't live to ripe old ages back then. That generation, that society knew what death was, and that girl is dead. Until Jesus showed up. All right, and so we see two things happen. Number one is if you're responding out of fear, you're not going to get your miracle. You have to actively put off the spirit of fear. And there are times, and you can call Pastor crazy if you want to, when I have said out loud, devil, take your fear, and in Jesus' name, get out of my house. All right? I don't need his fear. All right? Fear motivates you to make bad decisions. Fear motivates you to despair. Fear motivates you to take chances that you ought not to take. Fear, and God doesn't give you fear. The Word of God says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Clear thinking. And you know what? When you take the fear out of your mind, and that's what the devil's doing, man, he's just confusing. How many of you think straight when you're scared? Okay? You know, and so, man, that fear is going through your brain, and you're trying to think logically, and, you know, walk out my front door, and there was a hornet sitting up there. And the last thing you want to do is swat a hornet. But Bubba, when that thing came at me, I swatted the living fire out of that hornet. Bless God, he delivered me and my stupid swatting hands from that hornet, and I told Terry, don't wear that flowery looking top anymore. You're attracting all the hornets. That blouse that your sister gave you attracts all the hornets in the neighborhood. All right? Because I just say, hornet, whoa! Am I responding logically? No, I'm doing exactly what everybody tells you. Don't swat at the hornet. And there I am swatting at it. Okay? When you are responding with fear, you're not going to do the right thing. And that's why Jesus told Jairus, right now, Jairus, put fear out of your mind. Put it out of your mind. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Amen? You know, and so Jairus says, in his name I rebuke the fear. I'm sorry, I have a sick mind that kind of works that way. Today we say in Jesus' name, but what if Jesus is standing right there, right? In Jesus' name I rebuke him. So anyhow, and it had to be a hard thing to do. Okay, at one place in the Bible it says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Okay, I'm really trying to walk in faith, Jesus, but man, you got to help me here. All right? And that's okay, that's a good confession. All right, I'm doing the best I can. God can work with that. All right, can't work with people running around motivated by fear. You know, devil's on your shoulders, beating you, putting fear on you, and you're just running all over the place. And God's saying, I got the answer right over here. Just rebuke that devil. Come on over here. We'll get down to business. Well, we're too busy doing exactly what we don't need to be doing. He has given us that name of Jesus. That which name? Every knee must bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and even those rascals under the earth. All right? You've been given that name. And the demons have to bend the knee to the name of Jesus. Now, I could give you all sorts of examples, and you would probably start coming up with excuses. Now, it couldn't have happened that way, Pastor. It had to be something else. When we were first starting a church, we had used up all of our savings. We are barely making it from meal to meal. And the washing machine breaks. And I don't have the money to fix the washing machine. I don't have the money to buy another washing machine. All right, maybe I'm crazy. I walk up to that washing machine. I said, "Washing machine, in the name of Jesus, I command you to work." You want to guess what happened? Started working. And people want to say, "Well, can God heal your animals?" He can heal your washing machine. All right? And I know this seems light and trivial, but folks, you don't understand the power you wield when you use the name of Jesus. That's why he said you don't take that name in vain. You don't use that name in an empty manner, in a thoughtless manner. Because that's the name at which every knee must bend in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And that includes pastor's washing machine. Amen? All right. You learn that if I've got to put that fear out, that fear has to bend the knee to Jesus. And when you can say, "Okay, I am not walking in fear. What am I walking in? I didn't feel like I'm walking in faith, but Jesus..." You know, that's why we have to know our Bible, to know what the Bible says about certain situations, and know how Jesus worked in the Old Testament, because God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to do one thing one way, you know, in the New Testament, and then say, "I don't do that anymore." And there are some denominations, some churches that teach that. "Oh yeah, God doesn't do that anymore." Oh, that's a sad commentary on your church. God doesn't do that anymore? Oh yeah, he's given us doctors. Well, praise God. I do thank God for doctors. There are some anointed doctors out there. Terry has some doctors that will stop and pray with her before they do anything. Amen? Thank God for doctors. Thank God for people that have been gifted. They may think it's me. I've memorized this. They don't realize that they've been the benefit of God's mercy and don't even recognize it. Amen? But God uses doctors and people because he is performing his perfect will in our lives. But the message today is don't walk in fear. Don't walk in fear. Because once the fear comes in, the faith goes out. This lady had one thought. This is what the Bible says. "The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." And she says, "There goes the Son of Righteousness. Oh, well, there's 100 people between me and him." Didn't slow her down. "Oh, but I'm moving kind of slow, and I'm just an old sick lady." She wanted her healing. She knew what the Word of God said about her healing, and she knew that right there is the key to her healing. And it wasn't even Jesus. Jesus was the Son of Righteousness, but she wasn't looking at Jesus. If she was thinking, "I got to touch Jesus," She wouldn't have gone for the hem. She would have gone to grab Jesus. But the Word of God says that healing is in the hem of his garment, healing in his wings. That's all she was going for. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. And folks, you can belittle the Word of God all you want. The Bible says it. That settles it. Amen? Amen. And there's a bumper sticker out there that, you know, "God says it, I believe it, that settles it." That is not correct. Theologically, God says it, that settles it. Amen? All right. So God said, that's it. She acted on what God said. She got to the hem of Jesus' garment, and her faith healed her. All right? God healed her, but it was her faith that activated God's hand in her life. The whole thing of the Christian walk is to walk in faith. God is trying to teach His people, walk in faith. It is the faith that is going to change nations. It's the faith that's going to change this world. It's our faith in the Word of God and the God of His Word, that is going to change this world and the situation that we find ourselves in. It's not the things that we do. It's the things that we do because this is what the Word of God tells us to do. It's the things that we meditate on because this is what the Word of God says. We don't have the Word of God. Oh, we might read it or whatever, but it's Thy Word have I hid in my heart. That means reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against Thee. All right, so if I want to live a life that is a life full of blessing, a life full of miracles, I better know what the Word of God says about it. Because then when I do what the Word of God tells me to do, God puts His seal of approval on that. How does God put His seal of approval on something? Right? It's like when the runner of the bases comes in and he slides into home, and there's that old catcher. He's going to try to catch him as he's sliding into home, and the guy gets his foot around the catcher's mitt, gets that foot on home base, and what does the umpire say? He's safe! All right. We're coming around. We've rounded third, we're heading into home, and there's the devil. He's there to tag us, he's there to steal our blessing, he's there to put fear in our heart, but when we just go ahead and rebuke the devil in Jesus' name, and we get to home base, which is where God wants us to be, boom, he's safe. He's got she has her miracle. Amen? Walk in faith. Here's the hard part. Worry is another word for fear. And folks, we are experts at worry. Alright? If there's any one thing that each of us do well, we worry. And that's just a kind word for fear. We're afraid of what might happen. Amen? I used to make fun of ladies. I know the ladies in my life, Mom Ross. If she had nothing to worry about, then she'd really start to worry. There's nothing to worry about. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? Okay, that's Mom Ross. All right, she had to worry. But we all do that. I worked on Terry's car. I'm going to close with this. Terry's car has been sitting out in the driveway since Christmas, and it hasn't run. And I just did a whole top-end overhaul on the thing. It had new everything, and it worked for 10 miles and then stopped working again. And I knew what I had to do. I knew what the computer said was the problem. But I was just worried, what happens if I go out and I do this, and then it doesn't work again? But you see, the other side of that same coin is, what happens if I go out there and do this, and it does start to work again? It's a 50-50 chance. I'm going to do this simple thing, just change out this one little part, I'm going to do it, and if it's right, Terry gets her car back. All right. Or, same amount of work, but I've just let that worry sit on me, that fear sit on me for 6 months. Oh, but I might change it out. It might not work. Then what am I going to do? And rather than find out if it's not going to work and then do something about it, it was just easy for me to just not do anything about it. That's called being paralyzed by fear. Worry. What if? And so yesterday I went out there and I spent 15 minutes and a little bit of work. Didn't even get much grease on my hands. Got in the car. Oh, that's cool. See if the AC works. AC's blowing cold. Car's just humming away. I took it out on I-10, headed out towards Brookshire, and things working like a charm. Battery, I've got the battery charge. It's working now. I allowed the devil to put fear on me for 6 months until I finally said, well, Terry's going in the hospital. I guess I better do something. And took 15 minutes to go to the auto parts store and literally 15 minutes to replace this part. I've had that engine down so many times, I just got a big zipper on top. You open it up, reach in, change something, and put it out. Almost. And it really didn't take me any time at all. Half hour, 45 minutes worth of work, now Terry's got her car back. Why didn't I do that 6 months ago? And we do that to God all the time. Lord, why didn't I just have this blessing 6 months ago? Well, because, moron, you chose to run around in fear for 6 months. Had a big blessing ready for you. You're Shazam. As a matter of fact, the part, which was $89, it was under warranty. I says, here, it's yours. It's free. And I go home, put it in, boom, everything starts. All right? So what was holding us back from experiencing this blessing? Fear. Oh, that fear. I was just worrying. Fear. Okay? So, when you feel that you are worrying about something, be honest with yourself and be honest with God. God, I'm being motivated by fear right now. I've allowed the events of this world. I've allowed people. I've allowed the devil to come in and put fear on me. Forgive me for that fear. Rebuke that fear in Jesus' name. And say, now I choose to walk in faith. Amen? And let's see.